Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you would like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, you can find us on the web at revivallife.church.
Peace of God upon you. Hey, hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you got a Bible, go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 4. We are going to get in the Word of God today before we eat. Jonathan, if you can make sure that I'm up a little bit here, because this mic is not as loud as the other one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 11, it says, "And he gave some to be apostles and some prophets, some as evangelists, some pastors and teachers." Verse 12, "For the equipping of the saints and for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ." Can you say amen to the reading of the Word? Amen, amen, amen. This is the Word of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Hey, so today is our anniversary. I'm pretty happy about that. So this is the anniversary graphic we made. See, I made an original one that my wife vetoed. See, I made this one, and I thought, you know, this is I like that one better. And I sent that one to her first, and she's like, that's doing too much, Carl. You're doing too much. And so we landed on this right here. She said, people are going to think it's our anniversary, and you're going to bring us some gifts, some paper, some candles. You know the stuff you give people when you don't know what to give them. And you're good, Mike. I appreciate that. You rock. Give it up for Mikey, would you please? Now, listen, we're not applauding. If you're new to church and you're like, we're not applauding him the way that you would applaud an artist. What we're applauding is the faithfulness that he's shown to this house and helped us, like, just the gift of God that's in him. Amen? Worship was so good today. And it just doesn't want to end. It's so good. It's just ringing eternally. But yeah, we're after service. We the first Sunday of the month at Revival Life, we partake of the Lord's table. And today we're going to do it kind of in the biblical fashion. We're actually going to stand around a table and eat some food. That's how we're going to receive the Lord's table today. Amen. 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 So if you're physically able to stay and stand or sit or have somebody bring you, I make no claims on any allergy-free anything. I don't know how any of that works. Gonna be honest with you, for me, I'm just allergic to anything that tastes bad, which is most things, unfortunately. So I'm selective, but it's not allergy. But if you know what you can't eat. And so if you can't eat it, don't eat it. And but try to stick around and hang out with us a little bit, okay? We celebrate. As I meditated on. I have a message. I'm going to get into it in a second. As I meditated on the day today, I was with the Lord earlier this week, and I was talking to God about today, about our anniversary celebration. And it's our tradition at Revival Life Church that the Sunday after Easter, we celebrate our anniversary. So it's a floating date, just like Easter is based on the lunar calendar. If you didn't know that, that's why it floats a little bit. I think in a couple years it's going to be on 420, and so people were trying to say last week that Easter fell on the government claimed it something, and people were trying to say, well, it's been that way for a long time and it floats. And I remember early in ministry it was on 420, and I said, come worship the Most High, and I said a graphic. I was younger in the Lord then. I don't know that I would do that today, but that's. Come worship the Most High on 420. And I just what I did. And so I was meditating on the day, and I was just talking to God, and my wife and Tiffany were kind of getting all the logistics together as some other people helped them. And my wife was a little, being very cognizant of the different logistics that had to happen and arrangements and all that good stuff. And I was talking to God about it. And I was thinking about the logistics and this, that, and the other, how we might have done it in the past, how we might do it in the future. And I was like, God, just kind of talking to him. And he just looked at me, and he's always looking at us, right? Theologically, I guess. There's never a time that he's not, right? But anyways, I just felt, I sensed his presence. And I just felt, I don't know how to explain this to you with words, because sometimes, you know, God will say something to you and it makes complete sense, even though you don't know how to explain it, right? Right? You know what I'm talking about? Because God is spirit, and he speaks our spirit, and which bypasses how we normally, you know, go ahead and interpret information. And so he spoke to my spirit, and he just said, I just sensed. He said, I'm just so pleased with this church. That's what he said. He said, I'm just so pleased. He said, when you celebrate, I want you to celebrate like the people who are here, who have endured, the people. He said, I'm just so proud of your gospel witness in South Florida. I'm so proud that you've endured trials. I'm so proud that you've loved me well. I just felt this overwhelming pleasure of God for us. Amen. Amen? Just for us as a people. Now, this wasn't a, oh, you're so great and you're better. Like there's a church literally 20 feet that way, right? Like, and I'm not, like, if you go to the end wall, go 20 more feet, you're in another church, right? And it's not like we're better than another church or we're doing it right and another church is doing it wrong. But you know, if you have more than one child, you love all your children uniquely. Do you love some more than others? Well, you know, it depends on the day, right? It's, kind of depends on if the dishes are done or, you know, if they've written on the wall recently. But you love all your children uniquely. And I just felt the unique affection of God for this house. And what I see on the future happening here is just, I've only dreamed about it in the past. I'm actually seeing it happen. I'm just so excited. And I just want to say thank you for coming to the anniversary today. And I hope that you will get out of your comfort zone a little bit, stick around, eat some food, and look some people in the eye. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit. You know, as we speak about the challenges in our culture today, right? And as we look around the world today, we are more divided than ever. We know that we've made great strides in civil rights. We've made great strides in women's rights. We've made great strides in multicultural society. Yet at the same point, we're still divided on race, divided on culture, certainly divided in politics, divided in wealth. I mean, we will find any reason to divide. Some people are Marvel people. Some people are DC Comics people, and they divide on things like that. And if I could just be vulnerable with you today, I don't know the difference, right? I really don't. And some of you, that's like, just it's offensive to even hear me say that, because in your mind, there's such a divide. And if you were to ask me, what makes the church different? What makes it unique? What makes it more beautiful than any other community in South Florida, I would say two things. Number one, the church exists to exalt Jesus Christ above everything else. We're going to talk more about Jesus in the coming weeks and months, because I just sense that we do not exalt Jesus enough in the church in South Florida. We exalt our systems, we exalt our worship, we exalt how we look, we exalt the pastors, we exalt the buildings. And I sense, for us, a season of exalting Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, fully God and fully man. The story is exalted, not just the man, but his story, his death, his resurrection, but also his life. And not just his life, the fact that Jesus lived in a body. We are deceived when we think we don't need the body of Christ. Or we get so prideful that we think that I am the body of Christ. Me, since I'm a believer and we are the called out ones, the body are the people who believe, that I am the body. But that is not correct. It actually is a deception that is traveled throughout the world and is actually exploding now. To love Jesus is to love his body. And we're starting to see more and more why the body matters. There was a man named Jesus who came and he had a body. And his body is as important as his divinity. That is true, because both his body and his spirit are God. And so we have to recognize that if we're going to worship Jesus, we have to recognize the body. And in this age, the internet, which is everywhere, and online communities are everywhere, and the internet has not brought us together. As a matter of fact, it's made us more separated. And it's not just intellectually separated from one another. It has separated us from God. Not just intellectually, hear me, not just socially, but physically separated us from one another and from God. Let me get my first slide here. I know you probably can't read this. This is an article in The Atlantic, which is a fairly heady publication. And we have talked about the rise of atheist churches. As crazy as that sounds, if you're a guest, there are people who recognize that people need to be connected and they come together and they do everything except anything supernatural. And what we are finding now as we are seeing church attendance in the United States decline, we're starting to see the social effects of it. Here's what the author writes of this book, The Anxious Generation. His name is Jonathan Haidt. Here's what he writes in his book, The Anxious Generation. He says, "To stare into a piece of glass in our hands is to be removed from our bodies, to float placelessly in a constant cosmos, to skim our attention from one piece of ephemera to another. The internet is timeless in the best and worst of ways, an everything store with no opening or closing times. In the virtual world, there is no daily, weekly, or annual calendar that structures when people can and cannot do things." Haidt writes, "In other words, the digital life is disembodied, asynchronous, shallow, and solitary." And as he studies the church and what the church has done for society and for humanity at large, he writes, "Religious rituals are the opposite in almost every aspect. They put us in our body. They require us to use our body in a way that is devotional and spiritual. It requires you to make eye contact with other people." This is what he writes in his book, The Anxious Generation. And I am convinced in this day and age, the world, South Florida, needs the body of Christ now more than ever. Can you say amen? Amen? It's not supposed to be this way. We're not supposed to be separated from one another. We're actually created to live in community. The enemy comes along and he brought division. He brought us separated from one another, separated from God, separated from creation, and as we see here, separated even from ourselves. We need one another to be fully who we are called to be. And this makes the church utterly unique and totally different than anything else in the world. The church is united together as the body of Jesus Christ. Now, we are going to partake of the table, and I am going to do the miracle I always talk about but never actually achieve. A short message is happening today. The Bible talked about the working of miracles, right? Like they had to work out how to get into the miracle. And I feel like in all these years of preaching, I've finally come to a place where I can do it. I feel like the miracle working power of God is upon me. Bella, can you put up my series graphic, or is that the next one right there? So we are going to talk just for a couple weeks here. We're going to talk about supernatural connection, the church, the body. It's a supernatural connection. Jonathan, I think one of these mics is not muted, but I could be wrong. I don't know. I'm just the preacher here. So we're going to talk about this out of the book of Ephesians. We have to be able to discern the body of Christ properly if we are going to walk in our destiny. We have to discern church and God's body, this supernatural connection that happens when people gather in the name of Jesus and when they come to understand who he is. And so today, briefly, we're just going to talk about the body of Christ, and we're going to talk about it in three phases, three ways that it's expressed in the world. The first way we're going to talk about is the body of Christ. Jesus had a body, right? He physically lived on the earth, and you're like, yeah, that's not a big deal. I get that. But for the beginning of church history, they began to debate who Jesus really was. I am, as an aside, I am struck and I am utterly consumed with trying to figure out what the disciples experienced after Jesus rose from the dead. I am, and ascended into heaven. When I read the scriptures and I see how they related to Jesus when he walked the earth, they believed he was a good teacher, but they fully didn't trust him because they are human. They were fallen. They were unredeemed humanity. They had their hang-ups. They had not been filled with the Spirit. And so they walked with Jesus like a person they admired greatly. But certainly they didn't quite get that he was God. Even though Peter confessed that Jesus was the Messiah, there wasn't a grid in Judaism that the Messiah would actually be God, right? So it's important when we read the Gospels, we got to understand what's happening. See, we read the Gospels through our salvation, saying, of course, Jesus is God. Why aren't people reacting to him as God? But nowhere really, if you studied the scriptures, did the rabbis of the day believe that when the Messiah came, the Messiah is just the Greek term that the anointing, the Christ, means that the anointing would be on somebody to deliver them. So in Jewish theology, Moses was a Messiah. He brought them out of captivity, and they were expecting a new Messiah to come and defeat their rulers and lead Israel back into power. And so they were all looking for the Messiah, and many of them thought it would be a military Messiah, a great leader, a great general, a great king, and Jesus showed up as something very different, but better. I want you to hear this, and this is for somebody in the room. I don't have this plan, but I just feel this in my spirit. What you're expecting God to do is not going to happen. It's going to be different, but better. Amen. I feel that in my spirit. And so we got to get God out of the box that we put him in. He's got to come through this way. And he's like, no, get rid of that, because I have something better. Right? The Jews of the day murdered Jesus because he wasn't doing what they thought he should do. And he was messing up their plan, right? So they literally thought that they were going to bring back the kingdom, and Jesus was messing up their plan. It's how many of you have argued with God because he's messing up your plan? Right? Let's just be honest. Amen. Or oh me, right? One or the other, but just messes up our plan. And so he was messing up their plan. And so here they were walking with Jesus, expecting him to do something for them. And like all the time they're talking to him, if you read the scriptures, think about it before they knew he was God. Like, okay, we're with you and you're doing miracles and you're doing teaching, but any moment now we're going to get together an army and we're going to take over, right? And you can see them saying that, like, okay, now I get it. Now we're going to go there and we're going to take over. And Jesus is like, hey, I'm going to go die. And they're like, that messes up our plan. That messes up our plan. And we know how you're going to come. You're going to come like David came, a conquering king. You're going to come like Moses came, who murdered the people of Egypt. And you're messing up the plan. You're going to die. No way you're going to die. And Jesus is like, well, you know, if you don't give up your plan, you can't be saved. Right? And so we look at it this way. And so Jesus, so I'm consumed with this idea that they knew him as a man and they had expectations for him. But then he died, and he rose from the dead, and he ascended into heaven, sent the Spirit, and all of a sudden, by the time we start reading their writings, they knew this one who they called the only begotten. They called the one whose glory we beheld, who dwelt among us. There's something that happens when you meet the resurrected Jesus. When the resurrected Jesus begins to be active in your life, things change. How you view everything changes. And how you view God radically shifts. How you view the world radically shifts. How you view yourself radically shifts. And I am on a quest to know the resurrected Jesus like John did. I read 1 John chapter 1 and I'm wrecked. I'm like, I want to know Jesus like this. But before they knew the resurrected Jesus, they knew the man Jesus. And today in the church, we're so excited about what God has anointed us to do. We sometimes devalue what Jesus himself did and what he is still doing. And we are going to change that here at Revival Life Church. Amen. We are going to change that. We are going to recognize Jesus for who he is. And so in the second century, they're trying to figure out, you know, who is Jesus? Who was this guy who died and people say they saw him rise from the dead, 500, like many people now were filled with the Spirit. And around that second century time, stick with me for 1 second, there was a fake gospel going around, just like there's many today. It was called the Gospel of Peter. It was proven to not be a true gospel from the disciple Peter, but as it worked its way around, this fake gospel said that Jesus was not an actual person, but he was an illusion. He was just a spirit being, and he was God, but he didn't have flesh, because in the Greek mind at the time, flesh, the physical realm, was evil. The spirit realm was good. So how could a good and perfect God have flesh? Because that would make him not good and perfect. That would make him kind of like us, right? And so there was this, it's called the Arian controversy, because a man named Arius was a proponent of this. And you might think this is utterly crazy. Who would believe this? And don't laugh, this is a real thing. Jehovah's Witnesses believe this. They believe that Jesus didn't have a physical body. He was only a spirit being. And if he didn't have a body, I'll get that in a second. And so there were others that believed that, so these Arians believe that Arius, the followers of Arius, Arian, not like the Nazis, right? That's a little different, right? Different thing entirely. They believed that Jesus had a spirit but no flesh. And other believed that Jesus had flesh, but he wasn't fully God. Because how could a man be God? And this was a really big deal at the time, because they had to figure this stuff out. And so if Jesus didn't have flesh, here's the important part. If he didn't have flesh, he could not have died on the cross for our sins, and he could not have been resurrected, conquering death. And so there was this church council came together. It was called the First Council of Nicaea, and they came up with, watch this, the Apostles' Creed. They declared that the Apostles' Creed is good doctrine, and that's what we recite every service. You say, Pastor, it's so religious that we say that. And I say, in spirit-filled Christianity, we got so many heretics today, we need to get a little bit of the basics down pat. We need to be people who are baptized in the Spirit and aren't heretics at the same time. Amen. Listen, I want your bank account to be good, I want your marriage to be good, but if you're going to hell, it doesn't matter. Let us get some good doctrine on the inside of us. Amen? And so Jesus is a God who had a body. There is one God who has three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit, and Jesus Christ, fully God and fully man. And here's what's crazy about this. He actually had needs. He hungered. We know we read in the Bible. He thirsted. He was dealing with body odor in middle school, right? Like this is, he was a young man who dealt with all the things that young men deal with. Everything that you have been challenged with, God has been challenged with. As a matter of fact, I'm not just making this up. We actually see it in the Bible. Right here in Hebrews chapter 4, he says, "For we don't have a high priest who can't sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things, just as we are, yet without sin." You see, there were Jews at the time who were saying, Christians, Gentile, people who weren't Jews, who were followers of Jesus, they need to start fulfilling the law, and the priests need to keep being priests. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, listen, those priests, I mean, they're good, but we have a better one. His name is Jesus. Now, those priests, they have to offer sacrifices for their own sins. Our priest, no sacrifice for sin. He is a sacrifice for sin because he never sinned. He says, watch this. He says, therefore, since, watch this, therefore means, in summary, right? Since we have a high priest who can sympathize with our weaknesses, one who has been tempted in all things just as we are, yet without sin, therefore, let's approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace for help in our time of need. This is our promise in Jesus. We have, like, as soon as you mess up, the devil comes in and says, see, you ain't really saved. You can't go to God. Look at you. acting all spiritual in church, and then you did this thing. Why don't you get this worked out, and then maybe you can read your Bible. Then maybe, no. That's not the Savior we have. The Savior we have says, man, I know what that's like. I get you. Like, we can conquer this thing, though, together. Come to me. Here's what he says. Come to me. We can approach his throne with confidence so that we can find grace and help in our time of need. It is not weakness to need Jesus. It is human. You are fully human when you recognize that you need Jesus. There is a way that you receive Jesus and become human that you can't without Jesus. Amen. So when we need Jesus the most is when he was dying on the cross for our sins. That's when we needed him the absolute most. If he didn't have flesh, then he could not carry the sins of the world in his body on the cross. And if he did not die, there's no resurrection and there's no conquering of death. You see, he was resurrected from the dead. What was Jesus doing when he was dead? He was dead. That's what he was doing. Spiritually, things were happening because he died a sinless being and because he was resurrected, but he was dead. If you think he just left his body for a season and he was out doing things, then you don't really believe he died. And it's hard for us to get our brain around this concept that he actually died for 3 days. But now, he's no longer dead. He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven where he is ministering before the altar of God on our behalf, and he's making intercession for us right now. Can you imagine this Jesus, this King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he is praying for you right now. Physically, in his body, he is physically praying for us right now before the throne of God. What an amazing God we have. Amen? Amen. 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 The second way we see the body of Christ, we see him as the bread of life. This is one of the terms he called himself. He said, I am the bread of life. This is one of the things he calls himself. And we see this in the elements in communion. Now, historically throughout the church, they have different views on this. But let me tell you what Paul said about this. Paul, who was discipled directly by Jesus. Here's what he said about communion. He said, I received from the Lord. He's saying Jesus. Paul was not afraid to say that he talked to God. He said that Jesus personally discipled him. He says, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is what? For you. Let's say it together. For you. This is my body. Let's say it together. Which is for you. Oh, that's a big deal, right? This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he... Whoops, hold on. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Now, when Paul tells of his conversion, his discipleship, he repeatedly talks about how he learned from the resurrected Jesus. I don't know if he's bragging. I don't know what's going on there. But he wanted to make sure that no man got glory for what he did. And in this, he talks about the table of the Lord. He talks about on the night that Jesus was betrayed, that Last Supper when Judas was going to betray him, Jesus washed the feet of the one he knew would betray him, and then he said, this is my body, which is for you. Now, Judas valued that body about 30 pieces of silver. That's what Jesus' body was worth to Judas. But for those who truly believed, it's priceless. He is the pearl of great price, that you would sell everything you own just to buy him in your life. We find an interesting thing about Jesus when it comes to communion. Jesus ate good food with bad people, they like to say. He was willing to have meals with people that we wouldn't have meals with. He created good meals with bad people. And so on the first Sunday of the month, we celebrate communion. We would do it every week, but I preach too long. And it would just make the services too long. At some point, you will pray me through, and we'll have the Lord's table every Sunday. But until then, we'll do it once a month. But there's something supernatural that happens when we partake of the table of the Lord. It's not just a meal. It's not just a meal where we just say, we do this because this is our church thing. It's a meal that we honor Jesus. Jesus is at the head of the table when we have communion. He is present in it. Now, let me just say this. If you come from a Catholic background, this might make you a little nervous, me talking like this, because Catholics believe that the bread turns literally into the body of Christ. So they call it transubstantiation, where they believe the actual nature of the bread turns into something else, and that the wine that they drink turns into blood. You're literally drinking the blood, you're literally eating the flesh. And for those of you that this matters, let me tell you why I don't believe that. Paul, number one, it still tastes like bread. And I got to believe that thigh tastes different, right? Like I just... Can we be honest, right? But number two, as we read this passage that we just read out of Paul, he quoted Jesus and said, take this, this is my body, this is my blood. And then Paul said, when you eat the bread... He called it bread after he quoted Jesus saying, this is my body. So it's still bread, and it's still juice. Now, we don't use wine at Revival Life Church, simply, can I just be honest, because we have people here who have backgrounds in substance abuse. We're a church where we're like, you know, we want, people have called me before and saying, "You, this adulterer is going to your church." I'm like, well, glory to Jesus, where do you want him to go? We want them to go in the club or we want them to come to church? I want them in church, amen? Like, this is where they need to be. Yeah. Oh, that person did this, and you got them on stage, and you got them doing this, and I saw you serving. Like, I don't know if you know what we do here, but what we do is we bring people into the presence of God so they can be transformed for God's glory, and that doesn't happen if they don't come, amen? Like, I'm not sure you understand what we do here. That's what we do. And so for that reason, we're going to receive some food later on. Take your purse with you, all right? Just a little, because we want to be a church where it's like, lock your car, take your church, your purse with you, because we got some people who need to be in church. This is who, we just be honest right now, right? All right? Amen and amen, right? This is the church we want to be. And so we don't serve wine because we have people in our church who have had substance abuse problems. And instead of singling them out and saying, you know, we're going to serve the wine unless you're a drunk and then you can get some juice over here, right? Like, we just take juice and just believe it gets fermented somehow. And a little, right? That's our little transubstantiation right there. It just turns into wine for a moment, all right? I feel like God's okay with that. And so something supernatural happens, though, when we come to the table in faith and we receive the body, we receive the blood, the body and the cup. And when we receive it, something happens. Jesus called himself the bread of life, and he gives us physical reminders that he is the bread of life in communion. Amen. And the third thing, look at this. I am trucking along. I am killing it. Thank you, Natalia. Thank you, Natalia. So we have the body of Christ, we have the bread of life, then we have the ecclesia. Now, for those who don't know any Greek, it's the ecclesia, right? But those who've actually been to seminary, it's the ecclesia, right? But you can say it however you want. This is how you know if someone's been trained or not, right? How do they pronounce Greek words? Like, anyways, that's neither here nor there, Carl. Just move on. Gotcha. Jesus, and this is super important. Jesus left a supernatural community here on earth. I need you to get this because your faith in this is going to make all the difference. Your miracle may hinge on you getting this concept. And this is what we're going to be unpacking in the next just couple weeks. The Lord has given me a fresh vision that I'm going to share in about a month. It's significant. It changes everything we do, why we do it. But this is super important. We have to recognize that there's a supernatural community on earth, and it's powered by Holy Spirit to meet the needs of the world. The church is God's plan for changing the world, period. It's not economics, it's not politics, it's not planting orphanages. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ embodied in the church. And this is all over the New Testament. The intimate connection between the resurrected Savior and the ecclesia, the church, the called out ones. In Ephesians, the church is called the bride of Christ, the temple of Holy Spirit, and the household of God. Now, the most common expressed views of the church is the body of Christ. And we're going to look at Ephesians 4 here real quick. Now, when I first got into ministry, I preached Ephesians 4 a lot. I preached on the fivefold gifts, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Now, I'm coming to you by way of confession, but also by way of maturity. And I'll explain that in a moment. Let's take a look at it here. Ephesians chapter 4, this is our scripture for today, and then we're going to go eat some food. Amen? 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 Amen. I know some of y'all are really going to eat some food. You could amen me a little louder now, because you know you're hungry. You know. You're like, next year I'll bring something. This year I'm just going to eat. All right, that's fine. The Lord forgives you. At least amen the pastor. Amen. I come by way of confession. He says here, and he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers. Now, here is my repentance for those who get this. For who don't, bless your heart. My emphasis in this always were the people that Jesus sent, not the Jesus who sent them. I'm going to say this again. My emphasis in teaching this scripture over the years has been on that today there are apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and not on the fact that it is Jesus who sent these people. Amen. Any story you read in the Bible, if God is not the hero of the story, you are reading it wrong. When you tell your testimony, if God is not the hero in your testimony, you're saying it wrong. If you see yourself as David or you see yourself as Solomon, we're reading it wrong. We are the ones in the story that God is rescuing. When we read the Bible and we read about the deliverance, we're not Moses leading people over. We are the people who are enslaved, and without a Messiah, we would still be enslaved. We have to read the Bible in the way that God gets the glory he deserves. Amen. And all the people cry, holy, holy forever. This is what reading the scriptures is supposed to do in our lives. Not tell us, man, my pastor is amazing, or wow, Paul was cool, but my God is alive and active and making things happen on the earth still. Amen? Amen. So he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers for the equipping of saints, for the work of ministry. Why? For the building up of the body of Christ. So Jesus in heaven sent some people to build his body. It starts with Jesus. It ends with Jesus. It is all about Jesus. And Jesus sent these people so that his body could be built up on the earth. Now, how long are these gifts in action? Well, I will tell you, until we all attain the unity of the faith. We ain't there yet. So he's still sending people. Amen. Amen. I need to say this again. Jesus is still actively sending people today because we are not where he has called us to be. Until we attain the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man and woman, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Now that last phrase is so confusing, you know we're not there yet. We can't be there yet because we don't even understand it. How can you be in a place you don't understand? So we're not there yet. So God is still sending people. He is still sending leaders to the body so they can grow up, stop being children in the faith, and be established in good doctrine. Watch this. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head. Who is that? Christ. Jesus, we are, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow, help people grow so they can stop being children. Hold on. Let me, okay, put up a, Bella, can you put up 4:14 for me? Ephesians 4:14? Watch this. Jesus sent leaders in the body so they can stop being children. You got to plug it in the Bible. Bible, you got it? Bam. Here it comes. I feel it in my spirit. Let's just read it together. We have Bibles, right? Ephesians. She, come on, give it up for Bella. Hallelujah. You know, there was a time, I'm going to try not to cry when I say this. I had a, we started the church, and I had the one small group in my living room, and I walked around holding Bella while I was preaching in the thing. And now she's running ProPresenter. I did a good job, huh? No. It's all about me. No, that, for those who don't know, that was a joke, obviously. Watch this. He says he sent these people, he said, until we attain the unity of faith in the knowledge of the Son of God to become a mature man to the measure of the stature that we don't understand. Verse 14, as a result, this is why he sent these people. We are no longer to be children, right? No longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of people, by the craftiness and deceitful scheming. I'm just going to be very raw right now. You might be like, what does that even mean? If you know anybody who believes that tomorrow is the rapture, this is talking about them. They're like, there's an eclipse. And we had an earthquake earlier. You know how many earthquakes we have every single day on the planet? Look it up. There is an eclipse. What is it? Every 19 days or every something? Like there's some crazy. It's really common. Eclipses are common. Earthquakes happen all the time. Yet crafty people. Put it back up, Bella. Let's call them out. Put it back up. Why do people get on Christian television and say this is it? Because these trickery of people by craftiness and deceitful scheming. It is good for their careers. Listen, Tuesday, we can get back together because nobody's leaving on Monday, right? It's not, nothing is happening. You know what's going to happen Monday? It's going to get a little dark. Here's what's going to happen. Ready? Come here, honey. I'm going to show you something. Come here. Stand right here if you would. Ready? You ready? That's what's going to happen on Monday. Okay, that's what's, the sun is going to be blocked out and it's going to get darker and then it's going to get lighter again, right? That's what's happening. Deceitfulness. We need to grow up. That's got nothing to do with Jesus. Jesus doesn't need an eclipse to make things happen. Are we good? Amen. Pastor, why are you going on about this? Because us charismatics get this wrong all the time. Here's what's going to happen, all right? Tomorrow is going to be worse than the blood moons and Y2K combined. And nothing happened with either of those. Yeah. All right, I'm sorry. I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to get off my little pony here. Are you ready? Verse 15, Bella, if you would, and I'm going to end with this. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up, come on up, Mike, in all aspects into him, give the band to come up, him who is the head, that is Christ, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building of itself in love. What does that mean? There is a supernatural love that we will walk in where we can disciple those who need to come out of the world and be conformed into the image of Christ. I need you to hear this again. There is a supernatural love that you can walk in where you can disciple those who need to come out of the world and be conformed to the image of Christ. Then we become the ones who supply the needs of those who come after us. When you are a child in the faith, you don't know nothing. You're like a little kid, the Bible says. To Jesus, we're like little kids. We don't know. All we know is God loves me. I don't know what happened. God is God, and I am not, and he is good, and I am something other than good. Like, that's what we know when we first meet Jesus. And then someone comes alongside us and begins to teach us the ways of God, teach us how to pray, how to read the Bible, how to be part of a church community, the importance of worship, the importance of discipleship. This is what happens. Who does he use? These apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers? Everyone. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and it begins growing you into someone who reaches the world for Jesus. The world needs the body to be the body of Christ. This means when you walk into Walgreens, there is the word of the Lord in your heart, just in case you meet somebody in the aisle and they are going through a life trauma and you have a word of comfort for them. You have a hospitality upon you. When you meet someone who just comes to South Florida and you say, you don't have to be alone down here. There is a community you can be a part of. People who are in various life trials, and you can say, I have met the God of comfort. Let me introduce you to him. We become the body being the presence of God in South Florida for those who do not know him yet. Would you stand with me, please? Listen. We're going to sing. What are we singing? You are good. You are good. We are going to sing this song in celebration. 8:24. This is just God. I praise you, God, who does miracles. Listen. I sense the pleasure of the Lord upon this house because he's a good God, and we decided to keep him God. Amen. Amen. We decided to keep Jesus the Savior and settle for no man, no evil doctrine, Amen. No spirit of division, Amen. No lies. We're not even going to go into crafty plans. We're not going into cerebral growth methods that leave Jesus by the wayside and say we're embarrassed of Holy Spirit. Listen. We are the church of Jesus Christ. We believe here that if you will turn from your sin and turn toward God, he will gloriously save you. And he will fill you with the Holy Ghost and power and give you a prayer language where you can have direct access to the Father, that you can walk in miracles, signs, and wonders, and you can actually discover why God created you and why you are on this earth. You do not need to be alone. You do not need to fear other people looking you in your eyes. You can walk through this life fully present, fully loving yourself, fully loving other people, not ashamed, but walking, knowing that your sins have been forgiven and that you are a new creature created in Christ Jesus for amazing works. You can receive the call of God on your life and walk in power. It does not matter what has happened before. It doesn't matter how you got here. It doesn't matter what your family looks like. You can be a blood-washed child of God, walking confidently in the Lord. As people bring up stuff in your past, you can just say, that's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives on the inside of me. I've died to the old man, and I am alive to Christ. And my future is brighter than my past because Jesus Christ is alive on the inside of me. Listen, if you haven't yet, I want you to just go ahead and decide. I'm going to be a follower of Jesus. And if you decide that today, fill out a connection card in the lobby and we'll get you some information. But what we're going to do right now is we're going to celebrate. I said we're going to celebrate. We're going to celebrate by worshiping one last song and then we're going to eat. Don't duck out. Don't duck out before the song is over. Stay and worship God. He's worthy of worship. Duke, can you take this down for me? We're going to worship Jesus. We're going to lift up his holy name. And we are going to dance. And we're going to shout. Yes. And tell your neighbor, give me some room because I'm ready to praise my God and yes. thank him for what he has done. Come on, Mikey. Let's do it. Take us there. You ready? Come on. Come on. Come on. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Give one more clap offering. Hallelujah.